You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We're so glad you came today. Is everybody ready for the Word?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I hope you are, because that's all I know is the Word. I love the Word. And preach the Word, teach the Word. If you love the Word, you're going to love me. If you don't love the Word, you're going to have a hard time with this message. Because really, it doesn't matter what I think or you think or anybody thinks. All that matters is what God says. Amen? That's the bottom line. And of course, that equates out into a person. It's not just a formula. It's not just a, you know, holy writ, as we say. They're not just rules and commandments. Behind all this is God, and we see His very nature and His character in what He has to say and what He's done in Jesus Christ. So more than just memorizing verses and memorizing rules and, you know, and intellectually memorizing the teachings of the Bible, this should bring us closer to Him. This is like a map. Maps in and of themselves are no good, but they help you if you follow the instructions to get to real places that the maps talk about. And so this talks about the Lord, and it points us to Jesus, and it's the Word of God to the extent that it takes us to Jesus. But it's not God's Word if it doesn't take us to Jesus.
That's right.
Would you like a scripture on that? Well, Jesus said, He said, "You search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life." So all the Bible points to Jesus. If you never get to Him, you're going to miss the whole thing. So it's more than a doctrine. It's more than a teaching. It's more than history. It's more than, you know, just memorization of Scripture and points and promises and formulas and all that. It's a person. Hallelujah. It's a relationship. His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. We've been teaching on the book of Colossians on Sunday mornings, and we're in the third chapter right now. In fact, I think we got down to about the 15th verse last week. We've just been taking it verse by verse. And Colossians is talking about the head of the church, the head of the body, Jesus Christ. That's not all that he talks about, but that's the main thing. And if we don't get that straight, we're in trouble. Amen? You know, the name that's going to outshine them all is the name Jesus when we get to heaven. Now, that name on this building, International Outreach Church, is just a name. It's a name like First Baptist or United Methodist or Calvary Baptist or First Assembly or Church of Christ and so on and so forth. All those are just names that will burn off. The name that outshined them all is the name Jesus. That's what saves us. Thank God for all these churches. We're pro-church. Are you with me? And we should join a local assembly because we're effective together and reaching a community, and your gifts and my gifts, we put them all together. It's a marvelous thing. It's a wonderful thing. We are uniquely gifted, but we are deficient by design. God designed us in such a way that we do need each other. And God forbid we don't hook up. God has no lone rangers. He's not wanting you to stay home and go to the first church of the DVD, you know. But He wants you to get together with people because you have something to offer. You have a gift that no one has. And whatever you have, added to whatever I have, added to whatever all of us have, it's just a wonderful thing. I talk about our accomplishments as a church in Christ, as Christians, as believers. We've done some great things. We've got some greater things to do, and greater things will be done. But it's true that we all did that. No one person did any of that. No one person does Hallelujah Night. No one person does the food ministry. No one person does the television ministry. No one person supports the missions. No one person, you know, built this building. No one person preaches this sermon. You see me up here preaching, but I'm a product of years of prayer and faith and of all of us together making this thing happen. Without your offerings, I would have starved. I'd be dead. Well, I'd probably done something else, but anyway, I wouldn't have got my calling done. Are you with me? I wouldn't have fulfilled my calling. So all of us make it happen. And we need to get that picture. And the head of all of us is Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. He's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. And so Paul talks about that in this book and about His headship. And then he talks about our part to play as the body of Christ. And the last couple of verses we went over last week, the 14th verse says, "Above all these things, put on love." That was just an awesome teaching that he talked about how you put off the old man, you put on the new, you put off sin, you put on holiness. You get your mind on things in heaven, not things in the earth. Things in heaven not meaning we're opposed to prosperity and cars and houses. You got to have cars and houses. Things of the earth were not cars and houses and food on the table. Things of the earth is lust and sin and hate and anger, all those things. He lists those. We've got to get our minds off those things and get our mind on things from heaven. Love, peace, joy, forgiveness, all those things. In fact, we're not heavenly minded enough to be any earthly good. Isn't it somehow the devil loves to twist scriptural truths? Well, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. I'd submit to you, we're probably not heavenly minded enough to be any earthly good. And if we want to be earthly good, we need to be heavenly minded. We need to love people, forgive people, and live holy, and so on and so forth. And then he ends it up in the 14th verse, says, but all, above all these things, everybody say above.
Above.
Okay, that would be the highest. This is what it's all pointing to. This is greater than all the things he listed. Above all these things, put on love. And it is a put on sometime. I don't always feel it. How about you? A couple of you are honest. The rest of you, I'm praying for you. I don't always feel like loving. I don't always feel that way. But I put it on. And the more I put it on, the more I feel it. Amen. The more it changes me. Hallelujah. When I begin to love people, forcefully have to do it. Just civil and decent. The right thing to do is be kind and love people when I don't feel like doing it. You know, I liken it to, you know, somebody calls you at the house and you're sitting there watching your favorite television show, reading your favorite book or whatever it is that you do. And you're frustrated and on your way to the phone, you know, we don't want to hear what you said before you got to the phone. Man, I just sat down, I just got this thing. Well, thank God for DVRs, you can pause it and go back. You know. And you can go back, put a bookmark in the book and go back and read where you were, you know. But I mean, oh man, I'm telling you, I can't. There's no peace and quiet around here. Goodness gracious, and you grab that phone, you go, hello. That's forced, but it's decent, and it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
Amen? You know it's the right thing to do. Hello. Okay, so love's no different. God didn't say feel something for somebody. When someone sins against you, feel good about them. You notice God didn't even, he stayed away from that word. It's not in there because he knows we don't feel that way. And it's not natural for us to do it. But if we'll act on it, love's an act.
Yeah.
Kindness is an act.
It's
not a feeling. Sometimes you don't feel it, but do it. And the more you do it, the more you will feel it. Put on. Put it on. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I love that. It perfects everything. In fact, it makes everything right. Whatever you do out of hate is going to be wrong. Whatever you do out of love will be right. God's interested in our motives, amen? And he says, let the peace of God rule. I think there's a connection there. If you love people, you'll have peace. And the peace of God will rule your hearts. You know in your heart it's not right. Don't do it. Let peace rule. Let peace be the umpire. Let peace say what is right, what is safe, what is out, you know, what is legal, what is not legal. What is the thing to do here and not the thing to do? Let peace rule. Let it be your umpire and your guide. Let it be your Lord, as it were. Follow peace. You know, you're just upset. You don't have peace about this. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You get peace. In fact, that's a great advice, really. You know, I wouldn't make any major decision in my life out of fear. You shouldn't be making decisions in your life out of anxiety, out of stress. You need to get down, get quiet, pray, get peace, and then let peace rule.
That's right.
You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, first thing, chill out. Okay? Number one, let's calm down and let's get the peace of God.
Yep.
Amen? It's not as bad as you think it is. I mean, the devil would like to magnify that thing, but what we need to do is magnify the Lord, not magnify the problem.
Right.
And then the peace of God will come, and then we'll start seeing how we can do some things here. Let peace rule. That's good stuff. Amen. Let peace rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. I am called to peace. God did not. It is not my plight in life. It is not my cross to bear, nor my thorn in the flesh to be in fear and anxiety and doubt all my life. In fact, that's listed as one of the curses. In Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, it talks about the curses, starting in the 15th verse all the way to the end of the chapter. And one of the curses is that our life would hang in doubt all day long. And in the morning we would to God that it were evening. In the evening we would to God that it were morning. No peace. That is not God's will. God's will for your life is for you to have peace.
Amen.
You're called to it. Don't let the devil rob it from you. Steal it from you.
Amen.
Pray. Seek His face. Get in peace.
Yeah,
God loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. You're called to peace. And then he says in the 16th verse, ah, now we quit reviewing. Brand new verse, 16th verse. Man, what instruction. I mean, if you did this, your life would be totally different. And that's what God's asking us to do, you know, as Christians. I'm born again. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Hopefully you have. Most everyone here has done that. But, you know, God's will is that we have victory in our life, that we have some peace and some joy. Hello. And we be a witness and have enjoy life. God didn't want you to be miserable all your life, miserable in your marriage, miserable in your family, miserable on your job. You know that old saying, find a job that you like to do and you'll never have to work another day in your life.
That's right.
Believe God for something you're good at, you love to do. I feel that way about pastoring this church. I love to do what I do. I just called to it. I found my place. I found what God wanted me to do. So it's not a job to me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's Sunday. I got to come up with something to preach. No, usually, oh, man, it's Monday. I don't get to preach. Hello. Oh, it's Wednesday. What am I going to preach Wednesday? How am I going to come up with something? I'm thinking, oh, it's Wednesday. There's no way I'm going to get to all this stuff I want to minister. I feel that way right now. I have so much to share, I will never get through all of it. That's because, you know, I've got peace. I know what I'm doing. I know what my calling is. And, you know, as the years go by, it just becomes a part of me. I love to minister, love to preach. I'm so glad y'all showed up because I would have preached if you hadn't come. I'd preach it to Brenda. Lord knows she needs it, you know. Okay. Love you, honey. It's just an example. I do that to get people laughing. You know, I didn't mean it. Okay. Sick. I'm glad I didn't hear all that. So 16th verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, so we talk about love. We talk about peace. You know, if you love people, then peace will come. And then you need to make sure that you're not, you don't, you're not sloppy with your agape. Agape is love, the love of God. So the word gauges and governs and puts it in order.
Yeah.
Love's not just loose. Love is in line with God's word. Amen. And so we put love on. We let peace rule. And we make sure we're in line with the word. Boy, you do that, you go in pretty good shape. Are you with me? If you love people and you let peace rule your heart and you are in the word, and the word's in you, you're in line with the word, then there's a safe, you know, bet that I don't bet, but that you're on the right track. You know, am I doing the right thing? Well, you know, I don't always hear from God. I don't always hear a voice from heaven. But I know what peace is.
Yeah.
I know what love is. I know what His Word says.
That's good.
We make such a big deal sometimes out of being in the perfect will of God. You know, is this exactly what I should be doing today? Is that exactly where I should have gone today or whatever? And really, you can drive yourself crazy trying to hear God in every little thing. Follow peace. Follow love. And follow the Word. Then if God speaks otherwise, that's fine. If you get a word, a voice, a dream, a vision, a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, some prophecy that comes, well, that's fine. That's wonderful. But that thing better be in line with the Word too.
Amen.
Or you don't want to follow it. So the gauge and the governor on my direction where I'm going is not a prophecy, not a word of knowledge, not a feeling. But ultimately, it's got to be the Word. Peace, love, all those things. Hallelujah. This is how we're to act. This is how we're to walk out this thing called Christianity in our lives. What's the right thing in your family? What's the right thing in your business? What's the right thing in the world as we walk out our lives as Christian? Well, love's the right thing. And peace should rule. And God's Word is the final word. Yeah, but I know they're saying on the news that this is okay now and people have progressed. And they've progressed to what? Usually when some great sin becomes acceptable, they say, how progressive. But you know, when you say progress, you mean you're going toward a goal. What goal are we trying to achieve here? To where there absolutely is no sin and everything's okay? Well, yeah, that would be progressive then, if that's our goal. Well, what is right? God's Word. Not what's popular, but what God says. Hallelujah. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. See, we should be sharing with one another what we hear and what we read and, you know, what we've picked up from God's Word. In fact, that's how you remember it. If you want to remember what God says, remember a scripture, share it with somebody. Hey, Pastor, what's your memory program? What do you do? I mean, to memorize scripture. I share it. And the more I share it, the more I remember it. You know, people often say, well, you got such a good memory. You remember so many scriptures. Hey, I preach more than you do. That's not an insult. I mean, just I'm the pastor, so I'm naturally going to preach more and teach more than you do. And since I teach more and preach more, I remember more. Because the more I share, the more I give, the more it's given back to me.
Yes.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run it over.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So if you get a hold of something that's real good, I mean, I love doing this. I love reading through the Scripture, have a Scripture come alive to me, call somebody up, you know, share it with Brenda, call up. Amanda and I share a lot of Scriptures back and forth. You know, something that came alive. Oh, did you see it in this translation? Did you hear this? And so we start talking it up, and you just can't forget it because you're sharing it.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's right. That's
repetition.
Amen.
Y'all live out there?
Yes.
Okay. Notice what it says here. It says, admonishing one another, teaching one another. I love this. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, there's a lot goes on in worship. You know, most every time I get up after a worship, I'll comment on the song we just sang. Some word in that song, some line in that song. Did it today. I mean, I do it all the time. See, we're teaching and admonishing one another in our songs, in our worship. That is so vitally important. That our songs and our worship's in line with the Word. Because notice what it says. It didn't say let songs dwell in you richly. It says let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in songs, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So that means our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs should be scriptural. The gauge on our doctrine is not what songs we sing. The gauge on the songs we sing is the doctrine we preach.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, a lot of people, I get tickled, a lot of people, their doctrine boils down to, well, you know what the song says, and they'll, you know, sing one line out of a hymn. And sometimes that hymn's not in line with the Word.
Yeah.
Well, what we need to do is change that hymn around, make it in line, you know, with the Word. I like this too. I've heard this distinction where it says hymns, because that's male singers. It's all, anyway. Where it says Christina's going to get that in a minute and just roll. But hymns, song, you had to have been here last week. It says psalms and hymns. Psalms obviously are Old Testament psalms. They were meant to be sung. Okay, and then hymns were songs we write, we put together. We sang some songs today that we wrote, as it were, you know. So there's psalms, there's hymns, and then it says spiritual songs. I believe those are songs of the Spirit. In other words, singing in the Spirit, which that's appropriate and right. We should do that. I mean, every one of us should, you know, as we worship God, and we should sing in the Spirit. You know, sing in tongues, sing in another language. That's baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Paul talks about it again in Ephesians, and there it is again in Colossians. And so they did that. They sang in the Spirit, and then they sang songs, hymns, and then they sang the psalms. You know, when I went to Lakewood Church years ago, 1975, I think, when we started going to Lakewood, I was just a little kid. You know, actually, I had a little kid. I mean, Chris is about that tall, but when we started going to Lakewood, but they would sing right out of the Bible. I used to love it. The song leader at that time's name was Tom Love. That was his name. And CBs were big back then. His handle was the Lakewood Leaper. Because he leaped, you know, and sang. And he would say things like, well, turn to your King James hymnal, to Psalms 1. And we would sing psalms. That's what we would do. And we'd take Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, glory, blessed is the man. And we'd sing it over like that. And we'd go through the psalm, just sing psalm after psalm after psalm. It's just a wonderful way to memorize Scripture. Get it inside of you. The psalms and then the hymns and the spiritual songs. We're being taught that way. Hallelujah. It's a lot better than some of those ditties we pick up from TV commercials. One of Mikhail's favorite is, "What a burger." She loves Whataburger. I don't want, when it comes on, she goes, "Oh, it's my commercial." Y'all heard that one, Office Max or something, which one was it, where it says, "Wow, that really is a good price." You remember that? Oh, Mikhail would make me do that with her all the time, you know. Oh, really low price, yeah. Wow. And she'd go, and I'd have to go, "That really is a low price." You know, but we pick up stuff like that, we memorize it, but God's saying, "Hey, get a hold of this. Get to where you can't get rid of this, that you're just seeing it when, you know, you're not even thinking about it. It starts coming out. It's out of your spirit. It's coming out of your spirit. You're being taught and admonished. It'll keep you in the love of God. It'll keep the peace of God ruling your heart, and it'll keep the Word richly in you." I love that. Good stuff. So, from there he goes, 17th verse. Notice the progression here. Love, peace, the Word, singing, worshiping. 17th verse. "And whatever you do..." Okay? Now we're going to act this out. See, now we're going to live this out. "But whatever you do in word or deed..." What you say and what you do. "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to Him, to God the Father, through Him." Hallelujah. Boy, I love that. I think of course, I've said it many times this way, but it bears repeating. You know, when you pray, Jesus said it very plainly. He said, "Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." In fact, it's in John 14:12. He said, "The works that I do shall you do, and even greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. That whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Pretty powerful stuff when you think about it. The power of the name of Jesus. You and I have that name. That's the name we called on. Acts 4:12 says that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. By that name we call on and are saved. You know, Romans 10:13, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We call on that name and all of heaven stands attention. Praise God, He saves us. And we pray in that name. We pray for things. We pray in Jesus' name. We don't pray in our name. We pray in His name. We don't come on our merits. We come on His merits. We don't flaunt or boast of our works. We boast of His works and what He's done. And in His name we pray, not our name. In His name we pray, and He does it because He's given us His name. Like a power of attorney, we just write His name on the check. We work for the company, Jesus and Company. We work for the company, but He's the one that's got the bank account, and we sign His name on it, and whatever's in His bank account, He does. He's got a bank account full of peace and joy and health and all those things. And when I pray, I say, "In Jesus' name, hallelujah." And nobody checks my account. It's not my account. It's His account. I work for the company. So whatever I do in word or deed, I should do in His name. It has a couple, a twofold meaning there. It means I should never do anything I couldn't put His name on. I shouldn't say anything I couldn't put His name on. Well, man, I just think I'm about to go under. In Jesus' name? I don't think you can put Jesus' name on that. Hello? Man, I hate that guy. In Jesus' name? That's not in His account. He doesn't have hate in His account. He doesn't have going under in His account. Man, I'm so depressed. In Jesus' name? Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. That'd change what you say, wouldn't it? Man, I don't want to ever see you again. In Jesus' name? Whoa. I think we got a long ways to go. How about you? I mean, we got some things we work on here. So, but how do we do everything we do in Jesus' name? Well, first of all, you let the love of God, you put it on. Let peace rule. You get the Word in you richly. Yes. worship and praise Him. All of a sudden, now you're able to do some of this stuff in Jesus' name. One translation says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do as a representative of Jesus. I like that too, because it doesn't represent real well. Are you with me? When I hate, it doesn't represent. And when I'm not living right, I'm not representing. You know, I hear people often say, you know, about Christians, they'll say, why are y'all trying to impress everybody? Hey, we're not trying to impress anybody. We're trying to represent someone.
That's right.
It's not about impressing. It's about in representing.
That's right. That's good.
Hallelujah. And so love represents. Got to represent here. Got to remember who you are, who I am. We're Christians. And so He gives us some, you know, some 1, 2, 3s here to work on. Love and peace and the Word and worship and all those things. Man, it'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you act. It'll change your actions. I want you to notice how truly progressive this is. Really progressive in the truest sense of the word. It progresses from this into acting out and doing things, and then it talks about relationships. Because that's really what it comes down to, isn't it? I mean, we can come to church and we can hallelujah. We just sing hallelujah. And that's good. We should do that. And we can smile and tell everybody everything's okay. And, you know, nobody saw you slap that little kid before he came in the building here. No one saw you and your wife arguing in the car right before you got out smiling. I'm not getting on your case. I know I've been there. Come on. I'm just saying we kind of have a different face here than we have outside the church. And that's not condemnation. That's just, we ought to wake up, praise God. So really, your real mission field, first of all, is your marriage, your children, your business. We talk about foreign missions, and that's good. We should support that. But see, every one of us has a mission, and every one of us has a place to shine, a place to represent, a place to love, to let peace rule, let the Word dwell richly. And it's amazing how he goes straight from that to, I love this, pay attention, women, wives, submit to your husbands. I didn't write that. Okay, it's in there. Thank God he didn't stop there. He talks about the husbands after that. But yes, amen. I want to win the women back here in a minute. But it didn't say wives submit to men. It said wives submit to your husbands. That's what he's talking about. There's equality in God. We're all equal in Him. There's Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female in Christ. So we're all equally loved. But anytime you have two people together, eventually there's going to be disagreement. And if you're going to move forward, someone has to make the final call. And so that was it. It could have been the woman, but God said the man was the head. But God forbid there's that many cases where you'd have to wait for one to make the decision. Most of you should be in agreement and should agree on most everything. But you and I both know if we two of us disagree, somebody's got to move forward. Who's it going to be? God said the man in the marriage. And those are rare cases. I don't believe that's something that goes on every day. I mean, that's not about what you wear and don't wear. Are you kidding me? I wear what she tells me to wear. I know my place. I don't know anything about, you know, what to wear. Because, that corduroy shirt and those jeans just don't always look good on Sundays. Because that's what I'd be wearing all the time, you know. Boots and, you know. Brenda says, wear this. Hey, I like this tie. I love it. Give it to me. Sunday morning, she just lays out for me what I'm supposed to wear. So, I mean, where's the submission there? I'm submitting to her. But that makes good sense. I mean, I agree that she knows more than I do about that. You hear about those guys, you know. Walt used to tell these all the time. About marriage, he said, I tell you, I run things around my house. I rule the roost around my house. My wife and I got an argument the other day. I tell you what, I didn't see her for 2 weeks. And then one day, my left eye started to open up just a little bit. He used to tell us something. He said, I had her down on her knees just begging me, come out from under that bed and fight like a man. Anyway. We're not talking about being a dictator. That's not what we're talking about. Hopefully you agree on most everything. But we're submitted to one another. We're submitted to one another, period. You know, people say this is, you know, I mean, this is not right. This is not, oh, come on. This is right. Makes sense. Makes good sense. Hallelujah. We should all submit to one another. And the husband should be the head of the household. He should be the one serving God. He should be the one going to church. He should be the one praying and Believe, are you with me? You know, I thank God for our church. We've got a lot of good men in our church. I love that. You walk in a lot of churches, you don't see a lot of men proportionately. But we've got a lot of men that are serving God, love God, got their family in church, you know, and that's the way it should be. Hallelujah. You hardly ever see a man, rarely, see a man in church with a wife's not there. But you do see a lot of wives in church where the man's not there. See, the man should take that lead.
Hmm.
Okay, so, but you're not going to do this. You're not going to do this back up unless you put on love, unless you let peace rule in your heart, unless you let the Word dwell in you richly. You're not going to do this unless you worship the Lord and you determine that everything you do in word or deed you're going to do in the name of Jesus and as a representative of Jesus Christ. But if you do all that, now let's talk about marriage. See, that's notice how he gets into that. He leads up to that. Because marriage is not going to work without that. And God forbid that we as Christians don't have an example for people to follow. Don't have good, holy, godly marriages. And we've got several of them in this church, and I thank God. I think Brother Rufus and Sister Myrna have been married 78 years. Right? 78 years they've been married. Wow. And you know what? There's people in here been married 50 years. How many people have been married 50 years in here? Raise your hands. Look at that. Look at that. There's three couples right there been married 50 years. Wow. Thank God. Thank you. Thank you for serving God and fighting it through. Was that always smooth? Did they? Oh, no. They had opportunities. I'm not even going to give them the pulpit. Let them explain it to you. You have to pray. You have to fight through. You have to be determined. You're going to love. Are you with me? Brennan was always that way. I'll tell you. When we first got married, I was wild. I was so no good. I was lost. Just lost. And, you know, Brennan, I'd get in an argument. I'd get mad and run in the living room and just sleep on the couch. I'd wake up. Brennan would be laying beside me on the couch. She's determined to make this thing work, you know. And she was saved. She knew the Lord. And, you know, and started going to church when we moved down to Houston. I went down there for work. And she started going to church. And, man, she didn't like my friends and, you know, didn't like the people I hung around with, didn't like the way I talked in front of the kids. You know, the kid, which was Chris. Chris was a year and a half old, I guess, when I got saved. 15 months old when I got saved. And she said, don't talk that way around Chris. Don't do that in front of the kid. You know, and I was just lost, man. I was just undone. Just did not know the Lord. But, you know, she was committed to me, to this marriage. She loved me, prayed for me. You know, and man, thank God. She was so solid and so same. She was the same all the time. I was in a new world every day. I just woke up in a new world every day. You know, and she was my stability until I got saved. You know, and thank God for a good woman. Hallelujah. I may be the head, but she's the neck that turns the head. Well, notice what it says here in the 19th verse. It says, husband, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. You know, I made a decision a long time ago, going on 38 years ago. I committed my life to Brenda, to love her and to cherish her the rest of my life. I meant that, even though I was lost at the time. I meant that. I meant that with all my heart. I have never thought about being married to another woman. I don't entertain that thought. Are you with me? I don't compare her to other women. No more than I compare Jesus to other gods. There's only one God for me, and that's God and Jesus Christ, His Son. And I don't compare Him to Buddha. I don't wish He was more like Confucius or some other leader. I don't do that. I made a commitment to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I will serve Him the rest of my life. And I made a commitment to Brenda to love her, to cherish her, to honor her the rest of my life. I meant that. And I still mean that. And it means more to me now than it did then. And I never think of, my mind, it's just a blank when I think of not being with Brenda. And that's the way marriage should be. And I know many of us here may have been divorced, remarried. So whoever you're with right now, you're with in the rest of your life. That should be your commitment. And you can't entertain that out. You know, well, bless God, if they don't do right, I'll do this. Oh, come on now. Don't even think that. You got to work it out. This is part of you. You're part of each other.
Yeah.
We're one. If I were to hit my thumb or my finger, I wouldn't just cut it off. I'd try to fix it.
Yeah.
Well, bless God, that thing's just hurting too much. Just cut it off. Cut it off. No, let's get this thing healed up.
Yeah.
This is a part of me. This affects me.
That's right.
Man, my legs. Oh, man, my knee. I've got to do something about this. It's hurting. Well, let's just cut it off. Well, no, don't cut it off. Fix it.
Yeah.
Are you with me? So when you marry, you fix things. Thank God Brenda has the right attitude. I mean, she's, whoo, man. Yeah, you know, it's impossible to argue with somebody when they won't talk back to you. They won't argue with you. Brenda just real quiet, walks away, you know. Or then she pulls that thing women do, starts crying. Forget that. That's not even fair. That's just like a weapon you should not pull in a marriage. Hello. But I'm supposed to, by God's word tells me, this is the word of God, this is a command from God. Husbands, love your wives. And do not be bitter toward them. That's a challenge, I know. You know, and we get bitter at each other, we get mad at each other, we play the silent treatment, you know, and do all those things. But, you know, y'all been through too much. Think about it. You and your wife, I think of all things that Brent and I have been through. All things that we've been through in our lives. Why would I throw that away? Why would I throw that away? I mean, my Lord. I can't see, my mind doesn't even work that way. Maybe it would have in the past, but you know, after I got saved, I realized that this is about relationships. If I'm a Christian, I should love my wife.
Right.
Am I helping anybody here? Come on.
Amen.
I should love her. The world should see that. They should see our loyalty and our commitment to each other and our love for each other. We should be an example. God forbid I be up here as a pastor and don't like Brenda. She makes an announcement, sits down. I said, well, that was about the worst thing I ever heard in my life. Criticize the way she does her commercials, you know. Thank God for the commercials. We've got to advertise. I mean, you need to see me loving her. I don't know if I'm making this plain enough. You need to see me loving my wife as a Christian. You need to see me loving my children as a Christian. You need to see me on the job, because it gets on into that. I don't have time to get into it. Being a good employee.
Yes.
Praying for the boss and the company. And showing up on time. Oh, wow. Quit preaching. Got to meddling now, didn't we? I should live this out. This love thing's not just for Sunday morning church. This love is for relationships. It's for families and marriages and children and businesses. That's what it's for, see? That's what this piece is about. Now, I can't control everybody. I understand that. Now, I can't control how everybody responds. Everybody doesn't respond right. But I can control what I do and what I say. Amen. That's all I'm responsible for. Well, I'm doing all that, and they on the job or whatever, they don't, you know, they're not acting right. Well, you know, pray for them. They've got a choice to make. But we don't. We have a command to obey. It is to represent Jesus Christ. Do everything, word, deed, do all in His name. That's what we should be in this community. That's the way we should be in our businesses. That's the way we should treat people when we walk out the doors of this church. Because we don't represent our National Outreach Church. We represent Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And I am, as Terry Myers used to say, he'd say, the church is the best thing God's got going. And it's the worst thing He's got going. Because it's the only thing He's got going. We're it. Amen. And if there's something wrong, let's correct ourselves.